I'm going to give you something here from the Scripture tonight. These just for a minute. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man. There's two kinds of people in the world. One's 48 and one's 49. And everybody in this room tonight, either in verse 48 or 49. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Here's the other bunch. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want to preach on that thought tonight, building on the rock. The Lord said, if you come to me and hear my saying and do them, you're like a wise man that built his house on a rock. Now, if you're going to build, everybody here knows, I hope you know, that you can't just go out here in a field and build a house. If you do, as time goes by, well, it'll sink, it'll crack, it'll get all messed up. There's got to be a foundation underneath the house. Normally, I'm not a builder, but I've seen enough of it done. They have to dig down and dig down and dig down to hit something solid, and then they'll pour concrete and lay block and everything else to set a house on this building right here. Underneath them steel beams right there, there's a big old chunk, big square piece of concrete, probably 18 inches, maybe more than that, thick, because this building is sitting on that. And that's what the Lord was saying here. He said, if a man builds his life on him, the Lord, the rock, he's just like a man that builds a house on a strong foundation. And whenever the wind blows, that thing will stand up. But he said, if you build your life outside or away from or something other than Jesus Christ, you're like a man that just goes out here in an old muddy field and builds a house. It might look good for a while, but when the rain comes and the wind blows, it falls. And great is the ruin of it. And so you fit in one of them two categories tonight. Young men, young ladies, you fit in one of them two categories tonight. I just want to say a few things about this and we'll go. I want to say about this first man. This first man that built his house on the rock, he believed in the rock. He knew that the rock was the only sure foundation. He had no faith in the sand. He wouldn't build till he got down to the rock. So, here's a man out here, and he got out here and he said, I'm going to build me a house. Another man said, I'm going to build me a house. He said, well, I'm going to dig. The other man said, I ain't got time to dig. I don't see no use in digging. I just want my house done right now. The other man said, hard times is coming. I'm going to dig. Excuse me. So he digs and digs and digs till he hits rock. And the Bible teaches that rock is Jesus Christ. Our foundation of our life ought to be on that rock. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us are going to have to die. Someday, sometime, someplace, we're all going to die. And when it comes time for you to die, what your life is built on will then someday pay off, or you'll lose one or the other, depending on what it is. So tonight, let's think about this. He believed on the rock. He knew that the rock was the only foundation. He said, I believe there's a rock down there. I want my house built on that rock. There's a rock down there. He digs, he digs, he digs, he digs. Boy, there it is, right there. And so he gets down there to something solid. I want my life built upon something solid. I want my life built upon something so that when storms come to my life, I'm settled, I'm strong, I can make it. And I have had some storms in my life. And if you've not had storms in your life, you're going to have storms in your life. There's going to be deaths. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be the winds are going to blow against your life. There is no such thing as a person over 30 that's never had no kind of trouble. Well, trouble comes to all of us. You get your heart ripped out. You get your body in pain. You lose your job. You lose your you could even lose your marriage. You wind up in a divorce or something. But something's going to come against you. When that time comes, you want to be on the rock. You want to be on the rock. I'm going to tell you something. If you are fly by night, if you're one of these people that's just got a little dose of religion and you're just a Baptist, when the hard times come, you'll blow out. If you're one of these people that just got a little religion, when the hard times come, you'll blow out. If you're one of these people that just say, well, I was raised a Methodist, or I was raised a Presbyterian, or I was raised a Baptist, so that's where I go to church. When the hard time comes, you'll blow out. But I'm telling you, if you've ever got down on that rock, and if you've ever really met Him, and if you've ever really had an encounter with Jesus Christ Himself, when that hard time comes, there's something down inside you that's solid and will stay there and will stay put. Listen, I remember the winds of hell blowing against my life so many times. I remember when I couldn't take a step. I remember times when I didn't know which way was up, spiritually speaking. I remember when I didn't know what I was going to do. I remember when I didn't know who to turn to. I remember times when I thought, how in the world am I going to make it? But all the time down underneath me, there was something just as solid as concrete that never moved once one time. I tell you what, my life was built on the rock. And the Bible said that rock is Christ, and you better get your life built on that rock, because hard times are coming to everybody. They said one time this man, he was out and he had these kids and he's a little boy, and he was out and they got in the river or something. The flood came and the water kept getting higher and higher and higher and higher, and the man saved the little sister and took her to safety, and they couldn't get back. And they said that little boy, the river kept getting up, and they said that little boy climbed up there, and he said he got on this rock, and he said he held on to these bushes for dear life, and he said he sat on that rock all night long. And they said the next day they come down there, it got dark and they couldn't find him. And the next day they come down there and the rescuers grabbed him, and his daddy hugged him. He said, son, I'm glad you're safe. And he said, was you scared? He said, yes, I was scared. He said, was you worried? He said, absolutely, I was worried. He said, did you shake? He said, I shook all night, but the rock didn't. Glory to God. He said, I shook all night, but that rock didn't. I'm telling you tonight, I've shook, ain't you? Lord, I've wobbled, I've shook, I've fell. But there's something underneath me tonight that no matter how much I'm scared, it's still down there. I'm telling you tonight, God's still real, people. God's still real. He's still on the throne. He's still underneath you. He's the rock tonight. He's the blessed rock of ages. He's the rock. He's the rock. Put your life on the rock tonight. When hard times come, you'll have something to stand on. Amen. He spared no trouble getting to the rock. The Bible said he digged deep. We would say dug deep. But the Bible, King James English, said he digged. Ain't nothing wrong with that. He digged it, brother. Amen. He digged it deep. And he made sure. You need to be sure. You shouldn't just hope that you're on the rock. He dug deep to find out he was on the rock. You shouldn't just hope that you're saved. You ought to make sure that you're saved. Because you are going to die one of these days. You are going to die, and when that time comes, it ain't nothing else going to matter except whether you're saved or not. He spared no trouble in getting to the rock. Not only that, that man, he built his house upon it. He made his calling and election sure. Amen. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not how much you know, it's who you know. I used to work with this guy down here in Morgan years ago when I first got saved, and I was working a third shift. And this great big tall black guy about that tall, he was my boss man over here. And his name was Walt. I don't know whatever happened to Walt. And old Walt, he'd come in the morning. He'd lay out a lot of times on Monday where he was drunk. And then he'd come in Tuesday morning, and I would say, "Where's you at?" He'd say, "I didn't feel like I had sick. I was had stomach ache." Where he'd get drunk over the weekend, didn't feel like working on Monday. And he could get by with murder. And we asked him one time, we said, "Walt, how in the world can you just come to work when you want to, do what you want to?" And he always said, "Not what you know to, you know." He'd say that. "It's not what you know, it's who you know." And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I know people that don't even have a college education and have jobs that pay big money because they just happen to know the right person. I know people who are very educated and making $6 an hour because they just don't know the right people. It's not what you know always, it's who you know. I don't know a whole lot. But I know the Lord. I know Him. I know Him. And it's not what you know, it's who you know. They said one time, this little boy sitting at a service station like this, and he's sitting there wheeling on a piece of stick like that right there, and a big Cadillac come flying in there, and this guy jumped out of a Cadillac in a suit, and he ran around and he said, "Young man," he said, "which way does this road go right here?" And the young boy said, "I don't know." It kept wheeling. He said, "Young man, what about this one that turns off to the left right here? Where does that go?" Little boy said, "I don't know. I have no idea." And he said, "Well, what about this one? Turn to the right. Where does it go?" Little boy said, "I don't know." And the man said, "What about this one I just came up? Where does it?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Boy, don't you know nothing?" And little boy said, "I know I ain't lost." I just kept sitting there wheeling. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, listen, a lot of times they fire questions at us. They come at us and they'll say, "Well, do you know Greek?" "Nope." "Do you know Hebrew?" "Yeah, I one run the restaurant down yonder in Charlotte." I said, "Do you know Greek?" "Yeah, he runs a little Italian place over here." "Do you know this?" There's a lot we don't know tonight. But thank God I know I ain't lost. I know I ain't lost. Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I know my name's in the book of life. I know my feet's on the rock. Somebody said, "Do you believe in rock and roll?" "Yes, sir. My feet's on the rock. My name's on God's roll. And when the roll's called up yonder, I'll be there." I'm glad tonight I know my name is in God's book. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen. Listen, when I first got saved, I told you a little bit before. I'm embarrassed to tell y'all how dumb I was about the Bible. And I've been to high school and got a diploma and everything. It's a shame they don't teach kids the Bible in school and college. That's ridiculous. Our president said years ago, one of them guys said that no man is fully educated without a good knowledge of the Bible. You don't have a good education unless you have a thorough knowledge of the Bible. That's the most important book in the world, the all-time bestseller. And then a man says, "I'm educated," and don't even know what it says. You're not educated. You've got a biased opinion of somebody who leaves out the most important book. When I first got saved, I knew nothing about the Bible. I thought an epistle was an apostle's wife. Some of you ain't laughing because you still don't know the difference. Epistle is a letter, duh. And brother, I don't know, sound like apostle to me. Lord, I remember we thought, you, me and these boys, we'd sit around tonight, there'd be about six of us. And we'd say, "All right, we're all going to study for 15 minutes and then we're all going to preach." And buddy, Lord, I mean 16, 17, 18 years old, and we'd all study the Bible for just a little while, and this one would start off, then this one would start off, "You never heard such a doctrine in your life." Oh, Lord, I never heard. I mean, those are the craziest beliefs. I mean, I didn't know. I preached that Noah was in the ark 7 days before it started raining. I preached all kind of crazy stuff. We didn't more know what we was talking about than the man to moon. But I tell you what, we knew we wasn't lost. We knew we were saved. We knew we were saved. It's not what you know, it's who you know. I remember though, Habakkuk, I called it Habakkuk. That's the truth. I really, really did. Job, the book of Job. Now honestly, what does J-O-B spell? Job. We said it's over in Job. They said, "Hey, Job, it's Job." Job is J-O-B-E. But it says J-O-B, Job. We didn't know. Well, I call it Job for I don't know how long. Whatever, I don't know. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I told you before, I call the pews bleachers. I really did. I called them bleachers. I said, man, Mom, we had the best service ever was. The stands was full. I'm telling you, we had a great time. I'm like Billy Kelly, boy. He jumped up there that time and he said, boy, you people look good sitting out there in them pulpits. Listen, I didn't know. But I tell you one thing. I knew I wasn't lost. I knew I wasn't lost. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's still a lot I don't know. I don't know how to split an atom. I don't know how to send a rocket into outer space. I don't know a lot about that, but I know. No, I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. My feet's on that rock. Not only that, he was not disappointed with the results. When the testing time comes, his house stayed. Now there's a second man. He built his house on the sand. First thing he did, he disregarded the rock. He thought it wasn't important. Like so many people today, he thought it's no big deal if I serve Jesus or not. He probably heard about the rock. He probably believed that there was a rock down there. But for some reason he figured he'd get along just as well without the rock. The Bible said, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Or just too lazy maybe to dig down to get to it. I believe some people are too lazy to figure out if they're saved or not. I know business people that'll stay up half the night figuring out a business deal or something on their taxes to try to get back another $100. I mean, work several hours on it, but have never spent 4 hours on their knees with their Bible open, seeking God to make sure they're saved. You know what you're doing? You're disregarding the rock. You're disregarding the most important thing that ever happened. And then the Bible said about this man, he began building too soon. No other foundation can no man lay. He wanted a quick, cheap job. Many young people today set out in life too quick without thinking. They don't want to take time for the rock. You ask them, you want to come to church? I ain't got time. How many teenagers today did not go to church because they thought, well, I want to go play ball. I want to watch this ball game. I want to do that. You know what? They didn't have time for the rock. And one day when the flood comes, your life will crumble and you'll lift out the most important thing. That's your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than your relationship with the Lord. Nothing, 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 nothing. Not your girlfriend, not your boyfriend, not your job, not your car, not your education. Nothing's more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. He built without a foundation. The earth is sandy. He felt the need of a house for the body, but not an infallible need for a rock to hold up his home. And these hopes were suddenly cut off. The flood came. Both these houses looked alike if you were walking down the beach and saw them. You couldn't tell one from the other. But one of them had a rock foundation underneath it, and the other had sand. Listen, and you couldn't tell the difference till the flood came. Everybody in here tonight, I'm going to read you something, I'm through. Everybody in here tonight, I mean, you can put on a good act. You can fool people. You can make people think, well, I'm a Christian. I'm all right. But God knows your heart. And when you, as soon as you leave here, you just get wicked as a devil. And you just have a, you're just leading a double life. You're a fake at church. And then you go right out and just live for the devil. Let me tell you something tonight. You couldn't tell the difference in them two houses till the flood came. I believe as people sing in churches every single Sunday morning and sit there and open the song books and everything, they all look alike. We can't tell the difference. But boy, oh boy, one day, God's going to shake us. And then the difference is going to be seen. I heard about this man years and years ago in China when the emperor of China used to have an orchestra to come in and play for him. And this one man wanted to be in that orchestra so bad. He begged, he pled, and they would not let him play because he couldn't play a lick on an instrument. And finally he convinced them. He said, look, just let me stand up there with you. He said, I won't make a sound. I'll just act like I'm playing my violin. And he said, I'll just be a part. And they said, okay. They let him in the orchestra. He got him an outfit. He dressed just like they dressed. When they stood up, he stood up. When they bowed, he bowed. When they played, he played. He just acted like he was playing. When they sat down, he sat down. And you couldn't tell them. They all looked the same. Until one day the emperor said, I want everybody in the orchestra to come in one at a time and play a solo for me. And boy, when he said that, that guy got a sick feeling in his stomach because he knew he was a fake. And boy, it kept getting closer and closer to his turn and closer to his turn. And finally, the whole kingdom was, watching on. The whole area there and all the people that the king was over. And right before his time to go up and play, he drank poison and committed suicide. And that's where we get that old saying, he dared not face the music. You've heard that old saying, couldn't face the music. That's where that come from. Because that guy'd rather die than to stand in front of that king and admit he was a fake. And I'm going to tell you tonight, when we stand, you stand. When we pray, you pray. When we dismiss, you dismiss. When we stand up, you stand up. When we bow our head, you bow your head. And it all looks pretty good. But one day God's going to call you in one at a time. And you ain't going to drink no poison and get out of it. You're going to stand right there in front of God. And He's going to deal with you. I'm going to read this. It's not what I preached on tonight. There's only two places people can go when they die. One's heaven and one's hell. Listen to me, young people. You listening? I was going through some old notes of mine from years ago and found this. Listen, teenagers, young boys and young girls, listen. Got a lot of you here tonight. These are facts that are true. Could this poem be meant for you? Read a little and you'll see what Satan has for you and me. A pretty picture he will show. The ugly part he'll hide. You'll never see, my precious friend, what's on the other side. He'll tell you to live it up. You're young and full of life. But as soon as you turn your back, friend, he'll stab you with a knife. Before too long, he's got your soul. To hell with it, he'll go. There'll be no mercy there, my friend. There'll be no rock and roll. Oh yeah, weird noises will be heard. You think you've lost your mind. Wild and crazy sounds. Listen, won't be AC/DC this time. The preacher warned me of this place. How hot the flames would be. I laughed it off and continued on. My God, now look at me. The laughter stopped. The fun is gone. My soul cries out in pain. Jesus, please have mercy. I promise I will change. But then a voice so cruel and loud begins to laugh at me. The mercy ceased. The love is gone. With God you'll never be. You had your chance to make it right, to be forgiven of sin, and you refused to walk with God or let the Savior in. You did just what I told you. Now with me you'll ever be. You'll burn with fire and cry with pain throughout eternity. There'll be no drugs to make you high, no rock to make you roll, no friends, no movies, no cards, no dance. I'll be in control, says the devil. Ha ha! I'll laugh when you beg and begin to scream. The pain you feel, ha ha ha, it's beyond your wildest dream. Suicide? Forget it. Down here you cannot die. Christian life you should have chose, but you chose to live a lie. You could have walked on streets of gold, a mansion to behold. On earth you thought of many things, but never once about your soul. He built his house on the sand. I changed the message sitting over tonight. I had no plans of preaching this till right before I stood up here. Somebody in this room here tonight, I'll guarantee it, I've been preaching long enough to know, somebody in here tonight's getting a warning. And God's Spirit spoke to you through His Word. You better get your life on that rock. Because the flood are coming. The rain's going to fall. And great will be the fall of your life. Let's stand by here for prayer.